In John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking there concerning the vine and the branches and really tying it into our relationship with our Father and with Him and the Holy Spirit and their relationship with us. And Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Now this verse 7 and verse 8 is what I want to focus on. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And then he tells us how to remain in his love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. One of the realities when you and I are appropriating the truth that the Holy Spirit reveals to us, so when He speaks to us about having died with Christ and being raised with Him, and we start to renew our mind, we start to appropriate that truth, we start to find that that word really has a life to it. It's, you know, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the word of God is sharper than two, and it sort of speaks about it's active and it's alive. And the word of God is got energy in it. It's got power in it. It's very much involved in doing, accomplishing something in our lives. And here Jesus speaks and he says over there that if my word remains in you, and you know, I remain in you and my words remain in you. And you will find, and you probably have experienced this very often, that as the Holy Spirit speaks, and you really spend the time in seriously taking that word and not ignoring it, but applying it and meditating on that and receiving it by faith, that word that you received, you will start to find how alive it is within you, how active it is within you. What you will discover is that it's like you and that word become so integrated as one. It's alive and it's active. And so that truth that the Holy Spirit spoke is your reality. Your emotions, your thoughts, your attitude, your ambition, everything is so integrated with that truth that the Holy Spirit shared. So remember, it's our Father sharing with us an incredible truth because He loves us. And as we receive that by faith and we spend the time to meditate on that, and as I said, take it in, we start to find that integration taking place. And so the promises of God is not something out there. The promises of God become so integrated and it becomes so real. And so like I shared earlier on, as the Holy Spirit has been sharing with us over the past couple of weeks, 2 or 3 months, about the fatherhood of God. Now, it can be the fatherhood of God out there, or that truth can become, you can become so integrated with the reality of the Father's love, of the fatherhood of God, that your desires, your motives, everything about you, the way you think, the way you plan, everything is so integrated with the truth about the Heavenly Father, that it's your reality. Like that song that we sang earlier on there, the fatherhood of God, Abba Father, is not something that's just a word. It's your reality. And as I shared early on, in any truth that the Holy Spirit shares, you will find there that, remember, He guides us into all the truth. Christ is the way, you know, the truth and the life. And so in Jesus is the fullness of truth, and He is the full revelation of our Father. And so the Holy Spirit will guide us, and anything that's blocking the integration of that truth, the Holy Spirit will start to reveal to you and I. And that's the uncomfortable side of it, because stuff gets removed. Things that we rely on get removed. And so the same now with the Heavenly Father. Anything that is in the way of knowing the reality of the fatherhood of God, the Holy Spirit will start to highlight that. And you will find there that things start to be removed from your life. Things that you've had, and it could be, you know, as I said, it could be, you know, your security with your job. It could be provision. It could be whatever it may be. You will just start to find there that at the end of the day, it's like, Father, at the end of the day, it's you, my reality. You, my reality. And that's necessary for us as children of God to be able to live in the reality of being loved by our Heavenly Father. Otherwise, we have these other things that we rely on, and we get into the place where when Jesus says that my Father knows what you need, my Father loves you, to live in that reality, not to worry about tomorrow, to live in that reality where you're so integrated with that word that is your day, that is your norm in living in the truth that the Holy Spirit has shared with you and I. And that is when the fruit happens. And that is why Jesus says over there, if you remain in me and my word remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. This word remain in this context means this: something has established itself permanently within my soul and always exerts power in me. And that's the word of God. It's alive and it's active. So the truth is alive and it's active, and exerting the power of that living word that enables us to experience the reality of that truth that the Holy Spirit is sharing, so that we know Jesus and we know the Father. And so he speaks over here that as we are becoming so integrated with that word, he then says, now ask whatever you wish. So all of a sudden now, why do we fear? Why do we worry? Really disappears. Because now as that word becomes so one with us, we become so one with that word, now what we our desires and our motives are so connected with that living word, ask and we shall receive. And that's the confidence. That's what we are now stepping into as you experience the stripping away of stuff that is in the way of knowing the true fatherhood of God. There's a promise. But then Jesus goes on, as we read over there, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete, and that you may know the reality of the Father's love. And so you may be in a sort of an uncomfortable situation where things may be a bit stressed, causing stress in one's life. Press through there. Ask the Holy Spirit to help. Really ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I have to do that all the time, Holy Spirit, because in my own life, all the time, as He gives truth, He strips away all the stuff. And so that truth is my reality, whatever that truth may be. And it's uncomfortable, that process. Ask the Holy Spirit to help. He is our helper, and He is an amazing way. I have always found that in every situation like this, when I ask the Holy Spirit, He will always help me to have my eyes fixed on Jesus, because in Jesus I see the example of the Father's love. In Jesus I see the example of how the Father protected, how the Father provided, His identity, everything I see in the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so he is the way, the truth, and the life to our Heavenly Father. So, yeah, so just remember that as you receive. And so as we've been looking at the reality of the healing right now, it may not be right now, it may not be one's, through, you may not be integrated to the truth that our Heavenly Father is a healer, and it still may not be there. Press through, and eventually we become so integrated with that truth that we can walk in the authority of that truth. And that is where then we will bear much fruit, because this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. But that word must remain in us. That word must permanently be activating, powerfully working within us, and we start to get fruit. It's the same with the parable of the sower, exactly the same journey. We hear truth, and we go through all the trials, we go through the worries, we go through these things, but those who, Holy Spirit, help me to be established in this, say, what takes place eventually, then that word produces the fruit, and we start to see the evidence of that word. So with the healing, let's just press through. Meditate on that, ask the Holy Spirit to help so that we become so integrated with that truth. And that, so when we look at stuff and we say it's impossible, God, you, that word and us, we integrated, and Jesus, you've already done the healing on that. There just needs to be a divine exchange over here. And we start to walk in that faith. So let's watch this one. This one now, you're going to see, again, this, one particularly is dealing with the reality of forgiveness and unforgiveness. And there's a lot over here that's very appropriate, in the area of forgiving oneself, in many, many areas there, that's the blockage to receiving healing. So just for those that are missed out on a few Sundays, we're looking at how to receive healing and how to minister healing to others. And so, just watching Tony Kemp's teaching on that.
This is number 4 in a series on how to receive your healing. And I want to refer you to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 36, where it says here, Jesus teaches us. He says, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. I want to focus on where Jesus said, forgive, and you shall be forgiven. And let me give you some testimonies. I remember a man, he was a Spanish man. He had spent quite a bit of time in prison. And he was going to a middle-class church, and the people really didn't understand him. I'm not sure he was able to relate that well to people, but he got hurt in church, and the enemy attacked him, and he ended up with cancer throughout his body, and he came to a meeting. And I said to this particular brother, you have to forgive. Now listen to me. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an act of your will in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you forgive from your heart, you're being like Jesus, because when Christ was crucified, while he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And so when you forgive others, the Father sees Jesus in what you're thinking, saying, and doing. And the Father loves to see Jesus in your life. And so forgiveness is an act of your will in obedience to Jesus. You don't forgive people because they deserve it. You forgive people because it's what God says to do. And when you forgive, you open up heaven over your life. The Holy Spirit falls, and you see dramatic, miraculous answers to prayer. And in the context in which we're speaking, you see miracles of healing. And so when this man decided to forgive, he said, the moment he forgave from his heart, he said it was as if lightning struck him. And when he went back to the doctor, he could find no trace of the cancer, none whatsoever. So I'm letting you know that Jesus said, and I want to read it to you in Matthew's gospel, because I think it's very important that we look at the word of God, and I want to refer you to the word of God, and sometimes I'll just quote the word of God, and I don't necessarily take the time to read it probably as much as I should, but Jesus said in his model prayer, in chapter 6, verse 12, he said, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And in verse 14, Jesus says, if you forgive others their trespasses or their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty plain. So if I choose not to forgive others, then my heavenly Father will not forgive me. So if I want to be forgiven, Jesus said I have to forgive others. This is Jesus' teaching. It's not my teaching. And Jesus got his teaching from God the Father. So I have to forgive others. Now, Jesus said, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Now, he didn't say who or what. Notice this now. This is important, right? I'm praying for a woman and I'm ministering to a woman. She had 60% bone loss. And this, the Spanish man, this happened in Illinois. This woman that I'm talking about right now, this happened in the state of Louisiana. She had 60% bone loss and she was in tremendous pain. When I prayed for her, nothing happened. But then the Lord Jesus began to speak to my heart through the Holy Spirit, and I received what's called a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge from God supernaturally gives you knowledge. It's not anything that you would know naturally. It's supernatural. It's about a person, place, or thing as it relates to the present or the past. So the Lord Jesus tells me that when this woman was younger, she had had an abortion. She repented to God. The Lord forgave her, but she had never forgiven herself. And so when I said this to her, she literally bursted into tears and said it was true. And I said, Jesus said you forgive and you're forgiven. And I urged her, I said, you have to forgive yourself. Because God's already forgiven you. You repent in your heart. And so as soon as she forgave herself, her bone loss pain literally disappeared. And one of the things I have noticed is whenever I have gotten people to forgive others, they would receive dramatic answers to prayer and miracles of spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical healing. Jesus wants to make you whole. When I have gotten people to forgive themselves, Jesus has touched them and they have received mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical healing. Let me take you to another place because I've seen this. I want to mention this to you. I was ministering to a woman. Again, it was in the southern state. She had been married to a pastor. The pastor had left her for another woman. Okay, so there was rejection. Okay, and sometimes we move from rejection to self-rejection. And so basically I said, you got to forgive the man, your ex-husband, and the woman. Okay, now notice this now. She was blind in one eye. She had lupus, which is an autoimmune disease where the body turns against itself and she's in pain. And so one of the things I sometimes teach is sometimes you need to do an interview to get an interview of the cause to find the cure, to do proper diagnosis, to bring deliverance from the evil. So when I do this interview with this woman, this is what I find out. I found out when she was younger, this mother had left two kids with her and said, don't cross the street. The mother was gone for a long time. When this woman, she looks both ways. She crosses the street. One child comes with her, the other child is not. She looks both ways. She sees no car coming. She calls the other child. The child comes out slowly. A drunk driver comes out of nowhere, hits the child, kills the child in front of her eyes. Now notice now, one of her eyes is blind. She blames herself for the child's death. So I said it was a drunk driver. You have to forgive yourself. Listen to what happens when she forgives herself. Her blind eye completely opens as she sees. When she forgives her ex and the girlfriend, her lupus disease disappears. This is why I teach that forgiveness opens heaven. The Spirit of God falls. You see dramatic answers to prayer, healing, gradual healing, or miracles of healing. Let me take you another place. A man comes to the church. I did not choose to pray for him at the altar. I felt like I needed to do an interview with him to get an interview. And so I take him back into the office. He has cancer, and this is what I talk to him about. Now listen to how I say this. Sometimes when things happen, we blame God. God's very easy to blame. And sometimes you can develop a bitterness and anger, resentment, unforgiveness toward God. And sometimes you need to forgive God once you understand he did you no wrong. He doesn't really need your forgiveness because he never did any wrong to you. But you need to repent of your unforgiveness toward God, your bitterness toward God, your anger toward God. You need to say, Lord, I know it was not your fault. It was none. You had nothing to do with this. I forgive you even though you did no wrong, or if I can say it to you, no way, I'm blaming you for something you're not guilty of. Forgive me. I let it go. I let it drop. I lead this man in his prayer. When he goes back and they check him, his cancer is all gone. So if you're blaming God, okay, I'm letting you know that regardless of the misfortune, regardless of the sickness, regardless of the loss, regardless of the grief, regardless of what happened, God is not guilty. If you have bitterness toward God, let it go and let it drop. If you have resentment toward God, let it go and let it drop. If you have unforgiveness toward God, let it go and let it drop. See, Hebrews 12:15 says, that a root of bitterness can spring up, trouble you. And the Bible says, by it, many are defiled. So let go of the bitterness toward other people, toward yourself, and toward God. And say, Lord, I repent of that. I know you're not guilty. Forgive me. And then heaven opens, and then healing can come into your heart, your mind, and your body. It's hard to receive from somebody that you're mad at. And let me give you this example, too, before I move on to the next part of the teaching. I was in Joshua, Texas, and there was a woman there. She had one shoulder blade in, one shoulder blade out, just like this, and she'd been in pain, I'm thinking, for about 7 years or so, several years. And the Lord Jesus speaks to my heart and says she has bitterness against her body. Remember, when Jesus said, forgiven, you shall be forgiven, he didn't say who or what. And so I said, will you forgive your body? The minute she said yes, her shoulder blades even up, her pain disappears. I have literally had people forgive others and be healed by Jesus, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically healed. I've had people forgive themselves and be healed by Jesus. I've had people begin to say to God, you know, I've had bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness against you, but I know you're not guilty. I repent of that. Forgive me. Be healed by Jesus. And I've had people who were upset with their bodies, angry, bitter, resentment against their bodies, forgive their bodies, and be healed by Jesus. Here's what I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you forgive whoever and whatever you need to forgive. And that, let me give you an example of this. This is so interesting to me. Maybe you had surgery and the doctor made a mistake. You need to forgive your doctor and receive your healing. It's an act of your will and obedience to Jesus. I remember one woman, she was in pain, in a wheelchair. She had had surgery. Some metal was left in her body. It poisoned her body, and her body swelled up. She had repressed a memory of being abused. I was ministering to someone else along that line. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brought back to her that she needed to forgive who abused her. She did it. Instantly, the metal poison that was in her body disappeared. She came up. She was totally pain-free. She kicked her leg in the air like a cowgirl. Totally healed, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically healed by Jesus. Okay? So forgiveness is powerful. So let me lead you in this prayer. Say, Holy Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in obedience to your holy word, I forgive others. I forgive who hurt me. I forgive who abandoned me. I forgive who wasn't there for me. I forgive those who hurt somebody that I loved. They are forgiven in obedience to your word in Jesus' name now. And Lord, I forgive myself. And Lord, I say you're not guilty. I'm not going to be bitter against you. I'm not going to have resentment against you. I'm not going to have unforgiveness against you. I repent of it. I let it go. I let it drop. Lord, forgive me. I forgive my own body. Now, Lord, open heaven. Jesus, you're my healer. I believe now. I receive healing now in my body. And I thank you for a healing miracle right now, dear Jesus. Now, let me pray for you. You have forgiven others in Jesus' name. Now, you're forgiven. You have forgiven yourself. You're forgiven. You have let go of your bitterness and resentment against God. You've declared God not guilty. You've repented of it. And now in Jesus' name, you're not guilty. You've forgiven your body. I release the healing virtue of Jesus Christ. I release the miracle power of God into your body. May your mind be healed. May your emotions be healed. May your heart be healed. May you be set free of the hurt and the trauma. I command that sickness to leave your body. I command that disease to depart from your body. I command that disease to die, dissipate. Every symptom of it, go away. Be healed. I command every pain and the reason for the pain to go away. Be healed by Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that you're healing this person for your glory right now. Amen.
Often, now, like he describes over there, often what happens is that when you're dealing with folk, they think that to forgive someone is going to sort of like release them and say, no, it's okay. But to forgive is so that you can be set free from carrying that trauma and that weight of whatever has taken place over there. And so because God so loves us, He teaches us to forgive so that we can live in the peace and the joy and that freedom of all that baggage that we may carry. But I found there that a lot of the times, you know, to forgive yourself is such an important thing. And one of the areas when you're ministering to people, particularly sort of the younger generation, you will find over there, because it's the norm for Christians to be involved in intimacy in sexual relationships outside of marriage. And what does the Word of God say? That when we unite ourselves to like a prostitute or something, we're sinning to our bodies. See, and so they come for healing, but they've sinned against their body. And so it's not only repenting from what they've done, but also to forgive their bodies, forgive themselves, because they've sinned against their body, and that causes them not to be able to receive the healing. So there's a lot of the stuff that that, you know, as the Holy Spirit gives you the insights, that just be aware of the area of unforgiveness, as he said over there. You'll be surprised how many people are angry with God because God didn't come through as they expected. And so they hold a grudge against God. And they've got to learn that it's not God at fault, you know. And so when he speaks about forgiving God, it's not that God's done anything wrong. It's for you to be released from holding that grudge against God. You know, that's to get that freedom because of a wrong perspective and understanding of things, and not realizing the way God works doesn't work the way we work, and sometimes our expectations aren't met because he's dealing with us differently than what we would like. And so there's many areas there. Abortion is a big part over there. You'll find praying for folk over there in the area of abortion. A lot of self-blame for people that have been addicted to alcohol or drugs and the pain they've caused everybody else, and help them to be able to forgive themselves as well. in these areas. So take note, because remember, we're dealing with not only for us to receive, but how to minister healing. And unforgiveness is quite a big blockage. So hopefully we all live and we travel light. When you often hear me speak about traveling light, when the word and you start to become so integrated, you start to travel light, because all the other stuff has been stripped away and you start to travel light. And that's why this unforgiveness and to forgive is such a big key to be able to travel light in our lives there. We would watch this on Wednesday night. And one of the areas, you know, we look at our community, we look at our land, you know, in the Old Testament, in Second Chronicles, if my people humble themselves, you know, and that whole thing of there, I'll heal the land. And as believers, we've got to ask ourselves, do we have unforgiveness towards our governmental leaders? You see, we need to forgive and ask God, forgive us for having unforgiveness towards our political leaders so that you can heal our land. There's a lot in this area of unforgiveness, towards politicians, towards, as he says, towards doctors, towards all kinds of people that have made mistakes and that, yeah. So let us be people that know how to forgive, so that God can bring healing into our land, into our communities. I'm not sure if many believers live in forgiveness towards the political leadership of a town or a city. You know, so let's learn to forgive. It doesn't say that what they're doing is right, but it frees us and we can receive the healing of our land for God to intervene. Amen. So let's have communion as we allow God to do healing. And if anyone needs healing, and you may be battling to forgive, you may be asking the question, do I need to go to that person to say, I forgive you for what you've done? Sometimes you may need to, but most of the times not. You can in your own life, you can just say, you know, so-and-so, I forgive you for what you've done, and I just forgive you in the name of Jesus. And then, Father, forgive me for having unforgiveness towards that person. And today, I receive your forgiveness, and I thank you that you have forgiven me. And you do that. There are times when it may be necessary for the area of reconciliation, but only when you know that reconciliation is part of the way now. Many times you say, I forgive you for what you've done. They will look at you and say, what do you mean? I've done nothing to you. You must forgive me, kind of stuff. And it ends up in a big argument. And that, so that's why you just forgive. And when God says, okay, now go for reconciliation. And then you take the next step, because then you know God's working and his grace on both parties to be able to go through the process of reconciliation. Well, so that's a reality. If you make stupid mistakes or you get conned in anything or anything like that, and you may be blaming yourself, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself, so that you can walk in the life of the Spirit. And because we can blame ourselves for making these mistakes, and it's unforgiveness and it's a blockage. So forgive yourself if you've made silly mistakes and bad decisions that has caused harm in other people. Forgive, and you may need to go and say, I'm sorry for that as well. Forgive, ask him to forgive you. It opens the heavens. Amen. Good. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the forgiver. And we just want to thank you that we have died to the old Adam. And in you we are a new creation. And Holy Spirit, your life is flowing in us and empowering us. So we want to thank you for the grace that enables us to be able to live as Jesus lived and be able to forgive. And we thank you for that. Today, Lord, as we have communion, I'm asking for for healing to take place for anyone here this morning that is just releasing forgiveness in one way or the other. And I want to thank you for them, Father. There may be some here that needs just to receive your forgiveness today and to receive divine healing. So thank you, Lord Jesus, as you minister to us, Holy Spirit, as you appropriate the truth, as we have the communion and we celebrate today, Father, your love for us through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen.